T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now to the Giant fans out there, lost in all of this, Saquon Barkley is a traitor and he's dead to us, and now him and Tiki are going at it, is the fact that the New York Giants had a very, very eventful day one of NFL free agency. We were on the air when they signed John Runyon, a guard, away from the Green Bay Packers. We were on the air when they stole away Devin Singletary from the Houston Texans. We were on the air, I think, when they added the offensive lineman from Vegas. I can't pronounce his name. Jermaine Illuminor. Illuminor?
Illuminor.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Yeah, it is a cool name.
Illuminor. They also officially pulled off a blockbuster trade as we were signing off yesterday, in which they acquired Brian Burns from Carolina for, as Sean mentioned on the air late yesterday, a 2-5, which I cannot get over. And a part of why I can't get over this is that a year earlier, I think it was the Rams, offered Carolina 2 number 1s for Brian Burns.
Right.
So a year later, he's only 26 years old. He had an okay year last year. All of a sudden, you're getting him for a 2-5. The 2 you got for Leonard Williams. Basically, you're trading Leo Williams, who is a free agent, and a 5 for Brian Burns. That
right
is a steal.
That's a huge steal because you weren't going to pay 2 interior a D lineman. Look, I know that Leonard Williams he's missed because he's the ideal 3 technique. In fact, when he was up in Seattle, that was one of the things that Pete Carroll would tell us when we did the games, that he's just the perfect 3 technique because how he occupies other guys with his length and his athletic ability. But now you're going to turn that into what's more important in the NFL, which is pass rushers.
Oh,
it's humongous.
Tremendous.
Like we gave Joe Shane his kudos yesterday, but I don't think we did it enough. This first day of free agency, tampering of a period of free agency, has been, I think, more than anybody could have expected.
Yeah, and for clerical reasons, they gave up their 2, but they have an extra 2 from the Leonard Williams trade. So you can kind of frame it however you want. Either way, they still have a 2. They traded that and a 5 for Brian Burns. So here's the question. Because Saquon Barkley into Devin Singletary is a little bit of a downgrade. We have to admit that.
Yeah, of course.
A little bit.
Of course. Good player, he's not nearly the home run threat that Saquon is.
He's a safer bet because he's been healthy, though he's been asked to have a more limited role.
Right.
And they also lost Xavier McKinney. We can't ignore that. But they have beefed up this offensive line with solidness in Illuminor and John Runyon. They add Brian Burns, and they're not done yet. They've also added Drew Lock to add to the quarterback room, though I don't know if that tells us what's next at quarterback, if they're going to add somebody in the youth come draft time. Are the New York Giants better today than they were 48 hours ago?
Simply because the offensive line now has answers to all of the questions. Now, Jermaine Illuminor, he started his career as a guard. But the last couple of years in Las Vegas with the Raiders, he played right tackle.
Yes.
And so clearly they're either moving Evan Neal or bringing in serious competition for Evan Neal. Now, it's not a long-term deal, so it's not like, hey, we're signing this guy, you're going to be our tackle for the foreseeable future. But it is a competition, right? And if he wins that job because he started, I think, 14 games last year.
And 17 the year before, and was with Carmen Brasillo at his last two stops in the Giants' new
O-line. That's exactly
coach.
Right. So there's a reason that he came here. He followed his offensive line coach. I mean, you could see Evan Neal get kicked to guard, and if he excels there, all of a sudden, we were talking about this yesterday as we were leaving the show, the Giants' offensive line kind of feels like okay.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if Illuminor is good at right tackle and Andrew Thomas is good at left tackle or excellent at left tackle as he always is, you now have guard answers. And if Evan Neal is not that guy. You still have these young guys that you drafted over the last couple of years, and then Smith's at center. So it feels like that, like the snap of a finger, it got better. Not solved, because you need depth and you need competition, but it just feels so much more comforting.
This will make me sound like a bad guy, but I'm being truthful because I've learned this over the last few years about offensive line additions and how they make you feel, because I've seen the Giants do it, and I've seen the Jets do it. So when the New York Jets signed a free agent a few years ago by the name of Laken Tomlinson, I'm like, oh, we fixed our line. Oh, this is amazing. Right. I love this. And a part of why I liked him is because all we do, maybe not you, Tiki, because you may watch tape.
Yeah.
All we do is we go to Football Reference. Maybe we go to check out the, what's it called, the PFT numbers.
Right.
And we see how many games a guy played.
PFF.
Yeah, PFF. And we're like, oh, okay, John Runyon. Real NFL player, right. I feel good. The only reason we feel good is because the human being that's been added to our offensive line is not a guy we mother bleeped a year earlier.
Right.
And that's the truth. So I say that about even the Jets, and we'll get more into the Jets in a little bit. They added a guard named John Simpson away from the Baltimore Ravens. So you could ask, hey, Evan, what do you think of John Simpson? What the hell do we really know about John Simpson? Here's what we know about John Simpson and Jermaine Illuminor and even John Runyon. You know what we know about them? They didn't suck on our offensive line a year ago.
Yes.
So naturally, there's this feeling of, hey, I feel good about our offensive line. Until we get to week three and we're cursing these guys out. Now, that doesn't mean the moves are going to be bad. What it means is I go through this every year. It's like I'm trained like a dog. The Jets or Giants add a new offensive lineman. We believe they fix their offensive line until we actually watch the offensive line. It sucks again, and it's rinse and repeat.
Yeah, the reality is they're simply better than the alternative, even if they're not.
We think.
Right.
But we have no choice as fans to be excited about attempted upgrades. By the way, they added the offensive line coach. That's a big deal. You can't go into this negative.
I'm not.
You can't.
No. I want to make this clear. I'm not negative. I'm merely telling you this is what I go through and what you have gone through every year for the last half a decade.
Right. Totally.
We do the same thing.
It's a lot of ass implants as we attempt to build our ass.
Yes.
Okay?
Like, I take it back about 5 years. Oh, we got Nate Solder. Oh, dude, I love this. This is going to be great. This is going to be fantastic.
Well, I mean, maybe. I think some people, like, if you knew that he was a little bit, like, washed at that point.
Okay.
And that's the reason that the Pats were getting rid of him.
But all right.
I do remember that. It was like, oh, well, he's got a Super Bowl pedigree.
Oh, we got Ben Bredersen. Okay, now we're good. Like, we do this all the time. So here's what has to happen with both Joes. Joe Shane, and he just woke up Joe Douglas. You better be right. You better be right. And I know that sucks to say on March 12th because we don't know if you're right, but you better be right because the Giants taught us a lesson last year and the Jets taught us the same lesson. It's a very simple lesson, and that is your crappy offensive line can ruin a season. Mm. If you don't fix it, things are really, really bad. So as of right now, to John Runyon and Jermaine Illuminor and to John Simpson, we like you because you're not the guys we've already cursed out from the last 2 years.
Well said, Ev.
Thank you, Sean.
I can't even argue that point.
Right. Two segments where Evan's been on the money.
By the way, for anybody still clamoring and upset about Saquon, I think this is important with the Burns deal. The Giants let Saquon Barkley and McKinney walk. The deals they got, they are spending $6 million more a year by having Devin Singletary and Brian Burns a pass rusher on the team. Now I ask you what you'd rather have.
Would you rather have Brian Burns and Devin Singletary or Xavier McKinney and Saquon Barkley?
And $6 million more is what the Giants are spending.
The answer is clearly Brian Burns and Devin Singletary, but the reason why...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why it is, in my opinion, is the position that Burns plays.
Bingo.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, it's look, no offense to safeties. It's just, it's not the same as a dynamic edge pass rusher. And that's the difference. And that's where you're right. And that's why I sort of agree with you guys. I feel better about where the Giants are going today than I do 48 hours ago. And a part of that is I look at this defense and I see Kayvon Thibodeau. I see Sexy Dexy. I see Brian Burns. And I'm like, wow, I got myself a group. I got three guys who are young, who are signed, who have a chance to be the building blocks of a defense that only grows and gets better and better.
And a stud linebacker in Bobby Okereke.
And Bobby Okereke, who was a hell of a free agent signing a year ago. Let's go to Lee in D Park. How are you, Lee?
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing? I wanted to touch on the Barkley thing as well. I know I'm a Jets fan, but because you said before, you said something, you said, you know, he left to go to Philadelphia and prove me wrong. And you're wrong. And I'll tell you, I'm going to make a couple of quick comparisons. John Tavares, when he left the team to go to a rival. He was a guy who strung the team along.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley was begging the Giants for a contract, and they wouldn't give him one. He didn't leave. He was thrown out the door. And that's a remarkable difference. If you're really mad at Saquon, you should be mad at Joe Shane that he went to the Eagles. And here's the other two comparisons I wanted to make quick. Is Zach Wheeler considered dead to you?
I'm never going to honor him, yeah. I'm never going to wear
no,
his
No, you're
jersey.
Never going to honor him. But, like, would you say he's dead to you out of nowhere like that?
No,
and
no,
he's
no.
one of the best pitchers in baseball.
No, but I said it about Pete Alonso.
And I have a second one.
I'll say it about Pete Alonso if he goes to the Phillies. I said it earlier on the show. I'll say it again. He'd be dead to me if he went to the Phillies, yes. Yeah.
Is Chad Pennington dead to you?
Different.
No, it's not different. In fact, it's so much more parallel, and here's why. He was drafted in the first round. He played his heart out for this team. He busted his tail. He was great in the locker room. He unfortunately suffered a couple of injuries. They threw him out the door. That is exactly what happened to Saquon. So how is Chad, and Chad Pennington went to the Dolphins and he led them and he led them to a division championship. And he won the division with them.
I don't remember. Go ahead.
I think it's a little bit different. Obviously because of how great Saquon has been in moments when he's been healthy, and he's still in his prime. And yes, he went out the door, and yes, he got more money from the Philadelphia Eagles, but it sounds like the same contract that he was offered a year ago. Now, obviously, they chose to franchise him. They probably didn't have the money to actually get that deal done, but this feels different because football is visceral. Baseball, I don't care how like avid a fan you are. It is not an emotional sport every play. It is not a physical sport every play. Football feels like it's just more, I don't know, it hits you.
Yeah.
It hits you differently. Well, and like it's limited, right? The number of opportunities are limited. And I don't know, it's different. I can't explain it.
Well,
I can't put it into words, but it's different.
I don't think it's different based on sport, but I think our last call, and I respect what he did. He gave situations and said, what about this, what about this, what about this? He named three of them. Mm-hmm. John Tavares, Zach Wheeler, and Chad Pennington. And I can't answer it in just one word or two words, but they are different. I'll name all of them real quick just because that bothers me.
Right.
I'll tell you why it feels different about Chad Pennington. It feels different about Chad Pennington because more so than the Giants handled Saquon Barkley, the Jets really threw him to the curb. He signed with the Dolphins in August after the Jets finally made the move for Brett Favre. Like, he really had no other choice.
Right.
That's how I remember it. I remember it as, and what the hell was Chad going to do?
And by the way, he also wasn't the best of the best.
Right.
He wasn't the top of the line. That's what Saquon is.
Yeah.
It's different when you're talking about a guy who's one of the best at his positions versus just a guy who was on your team.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, let me just answer all these because they all bother me. Zach Wheeler, and I said this recently about him, we never had an emotional tie to Zach Wheeler. We just didn't.
Right.
Because what was Zach Wheeler's great moment as a New York Met? Like, what was it?
We got him for Carlos Beltran. He was a young pitcher. He was starting to develop. He needed Tommy John surgery. He missed two freaking years. He came back. He stunk. Then he puts it all together in 2018 when Jacob DeGrom was still better. Right. And then in 2019, he has a solid year when Jacob DeGrom was still better. When he left, we were mad at the Wilpons. I agree. But we never even had a tie to Zach. Zach, of all the young pitchers the Mets had, DeGrom, Harvey, Syndergaard, there was less attachment to Zach than any of those guys.
Yeah, it sucks that he's now with the Phillies and doing great things.
Of course.
But it's not as if you're missing his production.
Well, I miss his production. Right. I just, it was different. There was an emotional tie to Saquon Barkley and even Chad Pennington and John Tavares that did not exist with Zach Wheeler. As far as Tavares is concerned, look, he is the prime example. He is an enemy, and he's dead to all of us. Yeah. So we all know John Tavares is dead to all of
us. So why use that as the example? Because that's the exact same thing in a sense. Now, the challenge with Saquon is, like, I think we loved having Saquon on our team despite some people hating him, right? Or hating the fact that he was hurt all the time. But I'm not begrudging him from going and making the most money. The only thing that matters is that it's the Eagles that he went to. That's the only thing we're talking about. It's literally the only thing I care about.
That's it.
It's not about hating. No, it's not about the money. It's not about that. It's about the Eagles. So it's not even really Saquon. It's just the team he's playing for.
And I think the term dead to us comes with two check boxes. You talked about the emotional attachment to the player, and it comes to the team. No offense to Zach Wheeler and the Mets-Phillies rivalry. It's not Giants-Eagles. We might hate the city of Philly. It's not Giants-Eagles. And, oh, by the way, it's not baseball either, because Red Sox fans thought Johnny Damon was dead to them when he came and played for the Yankees and won a World Series, a big part of it. They hate Johnny Damon still to this day that he did that.
Right.
And for a temporary period of time, Bill Parcells was dead to Giant fans when he was coaching the Dallas freaking Cowboys.
No, but you're wrong about Damon and you're wrong about Parcells. And you know why you're wrong?
The fan bases were dead to them.
No, briefly, and then it changed. Like, I think if Johnny Damon goes back to Fenway, he gets a standing ovation. And you want to know why? It's easy. Because he won a title there.
Same thing with Bill Parcells.
Same with Bill Parcells.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think if you win a championship, you have a chance to be undead to someone. Look, I love Pete Alonso. I had a wonderful, personal, private conversation with him just a few short weeks ago.
And he told you he's going to be a Met for life.
I'm not telling you what he said to me. That'll
I love
remain,
being a Met.
Thank you. That'll remain private. This beard is being grown in solidarity with Pete Alonso.
You aged a lot yesterday.
That's right. Today I'm wearing Grandma Gray. That's the color of my beard today, Grandma Gray. Anyhow, Pete knows, and Pete doesn't take it personal, Pete knows the truth. And that is, even if it's the Mets' fault, even if David Stearns is like, we don't want you, if he signs with Philadelphia or Atlanta or the Yankees, I got to include the Yankees in this, too. Those are the three teams, by the way. Those three teams. Dead to us.
Right.
Dead to us. You could survive the Washington Nationals. True story. You can survive the Miami Marlins. You can. It's complicated, but you can.
Daniel Murphy survived it, signing with the Nationals.
No, mm-hmm. Because the Nationals are... I don't want to get into it. It's just different. Mm-hmm. Save that for Rico. If Pete Alonso, dear friend of mine, goes to Philadelphia, Atlanta, or the Bronx, and he knows it, he's dead to me. As a sports athlete.
Right. Right.
I mean, not as a human.
Of course. You still be friends.
Sure.
You still have an affinity for that person.
No, I don't think we'll be friends, though.
You won't have the desire to talk to him any longer?
No, I'm done.
It's over.
I wish him all the best.
It's done.
From a life standpoint.
And the only reason it matters is because they're good.
Yeah.
They were just, you wouldn't care.
That's right.
If you're just losing a guy, you didn't, whatever. We're not going to miss his production. Yeah. Pete, somebody else will hit 30 home runs for us. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
We don't care about Pete. If that was the case, there would be no reaction.
None.
You'd still be very much alive.
It's also like you say, Tiki, nobody loves you like your mama.
Right.
This is a homegrown Met. It's a different animal. If we were like third stop in his career, went to the Yankees, we could live with it. We've seen it.
Right.
No one loves you like your mama.
He's the best in Major League Baseball at what he does. Hitting home runs, producing runs, period.
That's right. And play it every single day. Let's go to Blake in Dallas. How you doing, Blake?
Hey, what's up, Keith? What's up, Evan?
All's good, man. What's up, man?
Hey, Ev, you're on a roll today, man. You make a lot of good points.
thanks. What's going on with Evan today?
I don't know what's happening.
Dude, he's making good points, man. And it,
it sounds like, you know, it's very mature. You get to sit back and really speak about it in a good way. It's good, man. You got good stuff. And here's the thing, guys. Diehard Giant fan, relocated to the North Dallas area about 5 years ago for me and my family. Mm. And I tell you, there's people out here that's like, oh, we're gonna transition you into a Cowboys fan. And look, I hate them more now that I'm here than I hated them when I was in New York, because now I'm surrounded by them.
Right.
And thank
now
God
you can't
Saquon
escape
didn't come here. Thank God Saquon didn't come here. But here's the thing, man. I just want to touch on it. First of all, Tiki, man, I've always been a fan of you. You are a giant. To me, Saquon's never felt like a giant. And I don't know why. I think it's a little bit because he's drafted high, like Evan said. You know, we could have had Josh Allen. We could have had a lot more answers maybe to this offense. And maybe, like Tiki talks about, the culture,
right,
the center, you know, having good pieces. And, you know, Josh Allen would have been a piece for years and years and years. But here's the thing, man. Saquon going to the Eagles, we hate him now. Listen, if you're a diehard Giant fan and you are a Giant fan more than you're a player fan, you hate the guy now. So what Tiki said about you're dead to me, there's not a more accurate statement than that. You cannot be a Giant and then go to the... Oh, here's the thing that is even worse. The Eagles are good.
Right.
Saquon Barkley might be the missing piece.
Right.
If they win a Super Bowl with Saquon Barkley,
that's exactly right.
Terrible.
That's exactly
it's
right,
terrible.
Blake.
No,
you're speaking what I feel. It's not that if the Eagles stunk and it was like, all right, they're getting Saquon, they're still gonna beat the crap out of them, it'd be different.
Yeah.
The Eagles have kicked our ass, except for last year, end of the last game of the end of last year. They've kicked our ass for 5 years.
Yeah, and the answer I hear from some is, well, because they've kicked the Giants' ass for years, who cares that they added Saquon? They've been kicking your ass anyway. We as fans don't go into seasons just thinking, well, we're going to get our ass kicked twice. Our hope is, as unlikely as it feels today or tomorrow, is that this is the year the Giants are better than the Eagles. That this is the year where we surprise everybody. So the logic of, well, why does it matter? The Eagles kick your ass anyway. That's the worst logic I've ever heard.
You're right.
Like, that makes you even more mad that he went there.
It makes it worse.
Absolutely. Ben is in Brooklyn. Good afternoon, Ben.
Ben, what up?
Hey, how's everything going? Tiki, I was so, as I'm a diehard Giant fan, I know we met once at Yankee Stadium. I've been a diehard Giant fan since 2004, and I couldn't agree with what you said anymore. The fact of the matter is that Saquon basically could have taken like $1 million less per year to go play for the Texans, and he goes right down the turnpike to go play for literally the most garbage fan base, most garbage franchise in NFL history. And I just want to say one thing, because I know you guys, you know, to me, it really just, I just want to point out, you guys clearly have the pulse of the fan base, because yesterday I was listening a little bit to a different station, and they were talking about how, no, you got to cut him some slack, whatever it is. Tiki, not only are you the greatest running back in Giants history, but you literally, you have your pulse on how Giant fans feel, and Saquon can say whatever he wants about you. He's not in your weight class when it comes to
Giants
running back.
I'm not comparing myself to him. It's a different era that I played in. I had a better offensive line than he did. He was rookie of the year. It is what it is, right? But at this point in my life, I'm removed from the game. I love being around it on Sundays. It makes me feel like I'm still connected to the game, but fandom has become much more, I don't know, appealing to me to talk about. I'm serious.
There he is.
Like when I was a player, you don't think about it.
Yeah.
Right. You understand it. Right. You go to events and you meet the fans and you see their adulation or whatever it may be. But also on the other side, when you have bad times, like I did, you feel their hate. Right. So I think the more I've been removed from the game, the more I appreciate playing here.
Yes.
Because the fans here care. I've said this many times over my decade plus doing radio. Like, these fans care.
You're damn right.
And they're knowledgeable. It's not like they're ignorant talking about sport.
I hope Ben learned his lesson. That's all I'll say, because he did say, I was listening to another radio station. Well, you made a mistake. Because when you flipped back here, right. Who was the guy who told you what you needed to hear?
Go kiss ass.
Tiki Barber. So whatever crap you were listening to, not that it was crap. Right. There's a lot of wonderfully talented people in this industry, but you made a mistake. Mm. And hopefully Tiki taught you a lesson.
Yeah, I don't get visceral very often, but when I do, I do.
Well, on that note, Tiki, you're really hammering yourself home as a fan here, and I feel it. I appreciate it. We have a good six-month Yankee season coming up. What do you say me and you hit the ballpark together and boo Carlos Rodon? That'll really show you're all in.
I thought it was a no-boo zone.
We're not booing Soto. We're not booing Soto.
But what if Rodon is pitching on a day that Soto is, I don't know.
No,
having a bad day.
Sean promised he would not boo Juan Soto because he doesn't want to chase him out of New York. Right. He said nothing about Carlos Rodon.
That's right.
Especially when he's the opening day starting.
Kiss my fat ass! What if we go to a game where Giancarlo's 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts? On the 5th strikeout, will you stand up and boo with me?
No, my challenge will be if Marcus Stroman's the opening day starter.
That's right. That's right, because Marcus Stroman doesn't get it either. We'll get back to your calls in a second, 877-337-6666. Coming up, the Jets finally woke up and made moves. They not only made a move, they did the thing we were asking for them to do for over a year, add a real backup quarterback. What do we think about who they added? We'll give you our thoughts coming up, plus a quick game of Posted and Toasted in the next 7 minutes. The New York Jets added a backup quarterback. We'll give you our thoughts in a couple of minutes, plus a lot more of your phone calls on Tiki and Saquon at 877-337-6666. Every Tuesday right at this time at 3:30, it's the segment that is getting the nation talking. And that, of course, is a brand new feature on Evan and Tiki called Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted on Evan and Tiki.
Very simple. I'm going to read a tweet from the past. I will give Tiki a few choices of different WFAN personalities, we'll try to figure out who posted it.
I'm glad we added multiple choice because I was terrible at it without it. Well, I'm also terrible at it with it.
That is true. This is week 3 of Posted and Toasted. We do 5 each day. You're 0-10. So you have not gotten one right. Let's see if the streak ends with a very simple, very, very, very simple post from October 28th, 2019. Very simple. It says, Noah Vonleh better than Julius Randle. Was it Sal Licata, Brandon Tierney,
gotta be
Tommy
BT.
Lugauer,
that's BT.
Or Evan Roberts?
That's BT.
You're wrong.
What?
It was not BT.
How is that not BT? You're Net of all, fans.
I guess Lugie's a rager. Lugie's a
Knicks
Knick fan.
I put all Knicks fans in me. Sal, BT, Lugie, and Evan. Thinking, I'm the hater. So maybe it's me. Maybe it is me. Or maybe it's a Knicks fan that thought at the moment Noah Vonleh was better than Julius
Randle.
Noah
Vonleh better?
Yeah, better.
Oh, I misheard it.
What did you think I said?
I thought you said not better, not greater.
Why would I post that?
I don't know.
It's boring. Instead, someone went on social media in October of 2019 and said Noah Vonleh is better than Julius Randle.
So it couldn't have been BT. BT loved it.
So it's not BT. I give you a second guess. Who is it?
That's you.
You're wrong.
Oh, God. The answer was Sal Licata.
Are you an idiot? Right?
That's right. Sal thought Noah Vonleh was better than Julius Randle. It happens. Here it is, post number 2 from July 6th, 2018. Been sitting in traffic court for over an hour and a half.
Traffic court.
And have already spotted not one, but two women with thick mustaches.
What?
Who posted it? Was it Greg Giannotti? Was it Al Dukes? Was it Evan Roberts? Mm. Or was it Sean Morash?
Mm. That's got to be Gio.
You're wrong.
Come on. He's a comedian. Why would he not?
I guess it's not Gio. You want to have a second guess on that?
Sean.
Ooga chugga, ooga chugga, ooga.
That's my first.
You're right.
It was B, though. That was my B guess.
Oh, that was your second guess. Yeah, Sean Morash tweeted in July of 2018, been sitting in traffic court for an hour and a half, and have already spotted not one but two women with thick mustaches.
What were you in traffic court for?
Probably blowing a stop sign.
That's a big deal, bro. Hmm. I mean, jeez.
I got out of
it. Moving violation.
All right, here's post number 3 from June 7th, 2016. Some tool put toilet paper in the urinal at work. You shake it, dummy. You don't pat it dry. Was that Al Dukes, Jerry Recco, Sean Morash, or Tiki Barber?
That definitely wasn't me.
You know for sure?
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to say that was Al Dukes.
Romo, you suck.
Yes. You got it right.
I'm getting good.
And here's the best part about this. When Al tweeted some tool put toilet paper in the urinal at work, I felt so bad because it was me.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Notice the time. He tweeted it at June 7, 2016 at 11:58 a.m. It was in the middle of the midday show. I was in a rush.
Oh.
I had the toilet paper because I was padding. And then I was like, I got to run. And I threw it in the urinal. So all these years later, I apologize. I was the...
Who do you think cleans that up, Evan?
I apologize. I'm saying I'm sorry.
Apology. You should write the person a check.
Right. That was 8 years ago. What can I tell you? How about this one from November 3rd, 2012? I love that John Minko is now following me. But somehow I don't think it's really him since he called... Hold on a second. Excuse me. I love that John Minko is now following me, but somehow I don't think it's really him since he called Iron Eagle a bitch in a previous tweet.
You bitch.
This is in 2012.
John Minko, I don't think it's really him since he called Iron Eagle a bitch in a previous tweet. Was that Evan Roberts? Boomer Esiason, Sal Licata, or Jerry Recco?
I'm going to say that's Jerry Recco.
Wow, you're red hot. 3-3, bro.
I'm on fire.
I'm impressed. That was very good. Yeah. Can't believe he called him a bitch.
It just sounds like something Recco would say.
Is that the real Mink, though?
I don't have the answer to that. I just have the answer to Jerry Recco tweeted that or posted that.
You bitch.
Let's go back to February 26, 2020, 2013. Quote, I'm not single. I'm in a long-standing relationship with fun and freedom.
Mm.
Again, 2013. So a lot of us were single back then. Was it Greg Giannotti, Tommy Lugauer, Sal Licata, or Keith McPherson?
Keith McPherson.
You're wrong.
Dang it.
It was not
so,
Keith
so
McPherson.
Hot. I was on a streak for a while.
I know. You thought you had it.
I did.
You want to guess, Sean?
I think I know my brother and next to me well to know that is right up a Tommy Lugauer 2013 era tweet.
That is a Tommy Lugauer 2013.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, wow. We have a bonus posted and toasted. Okay. How about this one? And it's very, very timely. This is from April 10th, 2018, a few weeks before the NFL draft. If I'm wrong to want a potential superstar running back who can also block and catch and who can change in one who can in one play change the complexion of a game, then let me be wrong. The Giants need to draft Saquon. Stop with the quarterback talk. We still have one. Wow. Was that Sean Morash, Mike Francesa, Boomer Esiason, or Tiki Barber?
Huh.
Someone really wanted to draft Saquon Barkley and believed in Eli. That's interesting. I wonder who that was.
I'm going to say that was me. Good luck. You're dead to me.
You are correct.
There it is.
So we learned a lesson here. We learned that Tiki Barber, huge supporter of drafting Saquon Barkley and huge supporter of washed-up quarterback Eli Manning.
So, Tiki, this year's draft coverage by you, nothing new. Very, very trash takes.
That's what you took from that?
Well,
that was a trash take?
I mean, he doesn't want a quarterback this draft. He didn't want one that draft. This is a theme now with Tiki.
Interesting.
Well, why draft a quarterback when you have one?
Well, that's what you said in 2018.
Exactly. And we have now two, three, if you like... Tommy DeVito.
Yes. Well, great playing. Tiki did a good job. 4-2 on that one. Another edition of Posted and Toasted. You'll hear it next Tuesday at 3:30 right
myself,
here on the Fan.
I would give myself 3.5 and 2.
Why? You don't count the last one?
Well, because the second was the B player.
Oh, I didn't give you that one.
Oh.
You got that one wrong. That counts as an L.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you were 4-2. I think maybe he was 3-3. Is that what he was?
Yeah. He got me on the second.
Right.
Choice.
So 3-3.
Yeah. I apologize. That doesn't count. You were 500. Real quick on the Jets getting Tyrod Taylor, we'll get right back to your phone calls. We'll get into Aaron Judge and how the Yankees continue to lie to us for some reason. I have been screaming and yelling for a backup quarterback for over a year. really ever since even before they got Aaron Rodgers, because my thought was they're going to get a veteran,
right?
Whether it be Derek Carr, whether it be Ryan Tannehill, whether it be Aaron Rodgers, who was always the apple of my affection, I always knew Zach couldn't be the backup. So yesterday evening, when I found out the news, and I found it out from Keith McPherson, so thank you, Keith, I was doing my audiobook for hours and hours last night, which you can pre-order right now on Amazon, My Mets Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball fandom, but I'm reading the audiobook,
okay,
which was very emotional, by the way.
Why?
Because I'm reading the stories again, and I get like emotional, especially the stuff about 9/11. So I'm just saying. Anyhow, I get out of this book reading, and I turn on the radio, and I listen to my guy, Keith McPherson, who I'm a big fan of. And Keith was the one who broke the news to me.
Uh-huh.
And I want to tell you how I feel about this. I'm a big Tyrod Taylor guy. Last year when Tyrod was starting, I even made the point to you guys that I think he's as good as Daniel Jones. And I would even bring up the career numbers,
yep,
cite his skill sets, and say, look, I mean, I like Daniel too, but Tyrod's just as good.
Right. You basically said they're the same. They're not missing anything by starting Tyrod Taylor.
Correct. That's how I felt. That's how I feel.
Right.
So I like Tyrod Taylor. Yet, when Keith broke the news to me last night, I'm not going to lie to you, there was a level of disappointment.
Why?
And I want to explain the why.
Yeah. He's good.
He is good.
He can
no
win.
Doubt.
And that's what you want from a backup quarterback, is
yep,
just be able to win a game.
You're right. 2 for 2. There's a big problem with number 3.
Which is?
He can't stay healthy. He cannot stay healthy. Some of it, not his fault. Remember that whole thing with the Chargers, yeah, where they put the needle
right
in him?
Right.
Not his fault.
What's happened every year.
Every year.
Every stop, he's had some sort of ailment,
yes,
that's caused him, when he was the starter, to now lose his job,
yes,
as the starter.
Yeah, so here's right my fear. My fear is Aaron misses a couple of weeks, nothing serious, but he's out for a few weeks. Tyrod steps in, plays well, and then gets hurt.
Right.
I almost feel, and this is what was going through my brain after McPherson told me the news last night, not personally, just listening on the radio, but it does feel personal sometimes. Like when Richard Neer told me the Nets got Kevin Durant. Very personal. Very near and dear to my heart. I kept thinking to myself, Teek, they got to add another quarterback. Well, I'm not even kidding.
They will, simply because of the three quarterback issue that now exists in the NFL that we saw from the, you know, the championship game a couple years ago with the 49ers when Brock Purdy hurt his elbow. Like they're going to sign another quarterback. But the question is it going to be a guy who you think can play? Like when you look at the Giants right now, let's just say they don't take a quarterback.
Mm.
It feels like all three of those guys can play. Drew Lock has played. Obviously, Daniel Jones has, if he's healthy. And Tommy DeVito was a phenom for a couple of games a year ago. So you'd feel like, oh, that guy can play. It'd be different if you bring in, I don't know, like a Hoyer.
No, I'll help
Brian
you.
Brian Hoyer type player.
Tim Boyle.
Right, yeah.
Trevor Timmy.
Just a guy who's on the roster to be on the roster.
Yeah.
That you don't want that guy. So whoever this third quarterback is for the Jets, because there will be one, you hope that it's someone who can play.
And it's not going to be. Because for the most part, you know, they just invested capital in adding Tyrod Taylor. They gave him a 2-year, $18 million deal, so $9 million a year, which is a decent amount of money.
Right.
It's not bad. Like, they're not adding another capable quarterback.
What is
they're
going to
add a
17?
Third stringer.
He's 17 this year? His cap number?
Yeah.
I think it's 17. So think about that. I mean, the number
mm-hmm
is really cheap for the quarterback position for the Jets this year. Next year, it'll be 60 because Aaron Rodgers goes up to $51 million, I think, his cap hit. So and you might see a restructure.
They will restructure.
But the point is, right now, it sounds like it's a lot for a backup quarterback, but relative to the cap percentage for quarterback, they're actually at a very small number.
No, but the problem is, like, how are you going to get another quarterback to want to join that room as a third-string guy? Like, you're not going to convince anybody.
It feels like a sixth round draft pick.
That's exactly
ugh
it. Right? 17 rookies started games last
yes
year. And, by the way, Evan, before you go, a lot of them won football games.
Yeah.
The Browns, Tommy DeVito with the Giants. What it comes down to is, can the Jets coach the guy up a right
no
where he could just manage the game
no
well if it comes down to that?
Did you watch last year?
Okay, but I mean,
Is football new to you?
I understand that. But other
so you
teams
understand what I'm saying, then?
Yes.
You like understand my point to you that I like Tyrod Taylor. I do. He fits those two things you mentioned. Can he win a game? Absolutely. I remember when he was filling in last year, I even mm-hmm said, boy, I wish Tyrod was on my team. Right. I like Tyrod Taylor, but I can't deny the truth, which is he's had a very tough time staying healthy. And so I fear that Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. It's minor. Is a few weeks of Tyrod Taylor, and he gets hurt. Yeah. And now you're back to square one with God knows who playing quarterback. I wish it was Gardner Minshew. I get why it wasn't.
That was a big, I mean, he signed for a lot of money.
I get it. Right. That's why my initial reaction to that was anger and, like, craziness. And then, believe it or not, of all people, Sean calmed me down because he's like, look, he's basically going to compete for a starting role and look at the money. I get it. I understand that. But that's my concern. So I like Tyrod Taylor. I'm just deeply concerned about his ability to stay healthy.
Right.
That's how I view it. Let's get back to your calls. Grant is calling from Lodi. How you doing, Grant?
What's up, Grant?
Yo, what's going on, guys? You remember me? I've called in a couple of times with my hatred for Philadelphia.
Yes, I love you. You're one of my top five favorite callers.
Yeah, so as you can imagine, I'm going through it today. I can't believe this. This guy's the ultimate turncoat. Tiki, I've been backing you all day.
I appreciate you, Grant. Thank you, bro.
Who's been mad at him? Non-Giant fans or right. Giant fans? Like, who's mad at
Tiki?
I know Philly Radio's been
having a field day down there, so.
Who is...
I've been arguing with both Giants and Eagle fans all day, all night, the past 2 days. But the only thing I can say that you're wrong about Tiki is that the Zach Wheeler thing, I do hate that guy, too.
Really? You know what's funny? I'm the Met fan. I don't hate him. Like, I really don't. Right. I think it's...
I don't think I have an emotion towards him.
No, I understand.
Because I'm not a Met fan, but also it wasn't, like, top of mind when he left. And then when he signed, I didn't realize, like... that he was going to be great, or at least as good as he was last year.
Oh, I was definitely concerned he was going to be good. I was because he was on the rise based on the way he pitched in 18 and 19. Look, everybody's different. So I'm sure there are plenty of Met fans who are not going to agree with me on things I say. Plenty of things I say, whether it's on the Rico or it's right here. By the way, you can download Rico, bro, and wherever you download podcasts, subscribe, like, do all that crap. I just looked at Wheeler as a guy who was our little project after the Beltran trade. We were trying to develop him. We finally saw the fruits of the labor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Mets basically said, we have no interest in bringing you back. Took a shot at him on the way out. And yeah, I wish he didn't go to Philadelphia. But I didn't have an emotional tie the way I think Giant fans did or do with Saquon Barkley. Like, think about this. I'll give you this test. When you walk around MetLife Stadium prior to this upcoming season, Saquon Barkley was one of the most popular jerseys you would see being worn.
No doubt.
How often did you walk around Citi Field in 2018 or 2019 and see a Zach Wheeler jersey?
That's a good point.
Never.
Right, because DeGrom was there.
DeGrom, even the remnants of Noah Syndergaard and Matt Harvey and Yoenis Cespedes and David Wright was still sort of a rat. Like, he wasn't even top five. Like, Saquon Barkley, in terms of active New York Giants, was far and away the number one jersey being worn.
Yeah, had to be. I'm trying to think who else it would have been. Maybe Thibodeau?
Nah.
Odell still.
No.
Well, that's why I said active Giants.
Yeah, right. There's still a lot of Daniel Jones jerseys.
You know, the quarterback.
Yeah.
Quarterback's always going to have it.
Especially after a quarterback signs a deal.
Yeah.
You think he's going to be there for a long time. It's worth spending my money on his number.
By the way, real quickly, the Giants did lose another member of their team last year. A'shaun Robinson is now signed with Evero in Carolina for 3 years.
Is that the glass for A'shaun Robinson?
Yes.
All right. Well, it was 1 year as a Giant. It's not like a lifelong Giant.
Yeah. That's why it was a break after the news.
Well, and look, even Tiki said this earlier. How many free agents do they have and did they have going into free agency? Yeah. It's like half the roster. They're going to lose guys.
It was at least, it was 32, which is more than half the roster.
And you know what? They're probably doing pretty well on comp picks because when you trade for Brian Burns and you sign Brian Burns, you're not adding him as a free agent.
Right.
So they're probably going to do pretty well on comp picks. But, you know, we'll get into the weeds on Sean's podcast, which is called One Giant Leap. You can download it.
No. It's One Giant Step.
You're right.
One Giant Step.
And a fresh episode was recorded last night. I was burning the midnight oil.
Nice. Good. That's the first episode Sean has recorded in 6 months. So good for you, man.
No, that's not true. That's not true. He recorded one the other day.
I listened to it.
He let some kid do it by himself.
No, that was until real news started happening.
At least if I ever write a book, I'll acknowledge that kid, Bryce, unlike you did with Hoff.
I made a mistake not acknowledging Hoff. By the way, my book, My Mets Bible, on sale right now. Go to Amazon. It comes out on April 2nd. I have somehow confused Tiki Barber into making book appearances with me. I mean, you are the
like
best.
You,
I know, you really do. I love you. You guys coming to those book appearances or no?
I'm in. I like a good cafe at a Barnes & Noble.
Do you? What if I told you that one of the locations that I really want you to come with me to, and Tiki to, is in the island of Staten?
I'd say enjoy that trip down the Verrazano. I'm going home.
So you're not coming to the island of Staten?
Hey, come on, dude.
I'm there to support my teammates.
You're going
to
come? You're going to come?
Teammate.
Yeah.
I just want to let it know I'm going to be a good teammate. I'm going to be a good locker room guy, but I will curse on the Bell Parkway the whole way home.
Will it make it easier or worse if that event in Staten Island is on a Friday night? Would that be worse or would that be like, oh, okay, I like that?
I prefer that, not having to turn around and come back to the city.
All right, here you go.
As much, again, as I'm supporting you, I would question everybody there on a Friday night.
You're questioning people that would show up to the book event?
Look, if you're showing
they want to meet Tiki Barber. Right. Forget my book. That's the reason. Okay.
That Sean, I don't think it matters the night of the week. I think this is a certain fan base for this book. You know what I mean? I don't think. Yeah,
they're going to come because they want to see Evan and maybe say
and
hello
you.
To me.
No, it's going to be a mix of baseball geeks and diehard Giant fans.
Exactly.
It's going to be the greatest eclectic mix of.
Just make sure you're also a Met fan.
That's right. I mean, we'll accept you. Look, there's one thing I learned from Michael Jordan. Even Yankee fans spend money, too. So if they want to read a book about the history of the New York Mets over the last 35 years, and I'll tell you why Yankee fans should buy this book. Honestly, honest to God, now that I'm rereading it, doing the audio, you guys get so many mentions and so many wins in this book. Hmm. Like, I'm going to count this up maybe during one of the breaks, because Loogie asked me the other day. I have 81 games in my book, 81 scorecards, and then I write about the game, my life, the experience of that game. So there's 81 games.
Right.
What's the Mets record in those 81 games? And then B, what's the Yankees record? Right. Because trust me, the Yankees record in my Mets Bible is well over 500. You can trust me on that.
But how many games did you score, Yankee games? And were they all Yankees Mets?
Oh, no, this is all Met games. So every Yankee game in the book is a Met Yankee game.
But I know you said you scored Yankee games, too.
I do, but they're not in this, book. That's in my sequel called My Yankee Piece of Crap.
I will say this ahead of Father's Day, if you're looking for a pre-order. If the news is bad on Gerrit Cole, the only thing we may have this year is Yankee fans is laughing at the Mets. So it could be a good purchase to pass
time. Oh, dude, you're going to get a good laugh. Loogie's already read half the book. Would you agree Yankee fans would actually love this book?
This is probably a better book for Yankee fans than it is Met fans, because if you're around my age, Evan A's around 40, this is our life.
Why,
in
is it,
paperback.
Does it give you ammo? For Met fans,
you get to
for Yankee fans against Met fans,
because it's a good era of Yankee baseball. You get to drink the tears. Literally, Evan cries in one of the chapters. I won't give away the story. So you get to relive great moments of Yankee history and also bad moments of Met history. So if you're a Yankee fan, it's probably even a better book.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a better book for Yankee fans. Now, I'm not gonna lie to you. Are there some Met victories in the Subway Series? Absolutely. There's a few. Really, the first one. And then it stops there. Right. No, there's a few off the top of my head. But trust me, there's a lot of Yankees in my Mets Bible and a lot of Yankee success. So, Amazon, do whatever you got to do. Let's go to Michael in Stony Brook. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. So, this is directed at Tiki, and this is a compliment. I think what I've noticed with the show and the new format, you're really good at the I don't want to say creating stories, but certainly bringing attention to the show, whether it was the Robert Sala canceled practice because he's intimidated by Rodgers, or the fight with Beningo on air, and now this. And, you know, it's a compliment. The idea is to draw ears and ratings, right? And you're doing a good job at that.
It's all timing, Mike. It's like, I don't do it every day. Because I genuinely react to things.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Ratings book.
Right. I like to inform because I like to study. I'm a nerd. I know we call Evan the nerd on this show, but I'm really the nerd here. I mean, honestly, for the last couple of breaks, I'm diving into Jermaine Illuminor. Right?
He is. He's watching
I see Loogie over there looking at me like cross-eyed. Like, why isn't Tiki paying attention?
Nerd alert!
He's in some rabbit hole. I'm just like, what gives problems to Jermaine Illuminor? Guess what it is? I just figured it out in like 10 minutes. Wide nines. What's a wide nine? It's when that deep end is way the hell outside, near the slot receiver. That gives him some trouble.
Just tell us if he's good or not.
He is good. Okay. But the wide nine gives him some trouble. I'm just telling you.
We'll have you on one giant step. Right. So,
I will say, though, that those two things or three things were all natural.
That's what I mean.
Like, I don't think anybody thinks, especially knowing Beningo, that Tiki and Beningo had a plan.
Right.
Like, I got this great idea. You know what, bro? Here's what I'm going to do.
Joe Beningo's the reason I'm in radio.
That's right. You were doing overnights with him, weren't you?
Yes, way back in the day. 98.
That's crazy.
I love Joe.
No, I get you. Joe's the best,
man.
He
just pissed me off.
Bad job by me.
Well, he's pissed a few people off over the years. Let's go to Chris in Manorville. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
What up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're good, man.
Good. What's up?
Listen, all right. This Saquon Barkley thing, this got to be the most classic example of if you can't beat him, join him. He is a soft strawberry frosting eating cupcake man I ever seen in my life. Turns on the Giants when they offered him the same deal 2 years ago, or last year nonetheless, and joins the Eagles. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I think he wanted the big deal. He wanted the $15 to $16 million deal, Chris. And it just wasn't, it's not available to running backs anymore. And so he held out, or at least he didn't sign the deal and played on the franchise tag. And then when it came to this year, the only team that was willing to go close to what the Giants paid him again. And by the way, since he played on the franchise tag, there was no way he was taking a pay cut. Right? He's just too good. His reputation is too big to take a pay cut. And every other running back deal, they're almost identical. $8 million a year for either 2 years or 3 years. Mm. So $16 or $24 million. That's what everybody got, including Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Right, who a lot of people believe is on his way into the Hall of Fame because of his numbers and his production, 2,000-yard season, et cetera, over the first 9 years of his career. 2 years, $16 million. Now, yeah. He's going to the Ravens, and it's the front-running team in a way, and maybe he's the reason they get over the hump. But Saquon got... He got paid.
Dude, he got the best deal of anybody. Of all these running backs that are out there. And you know what's fascinating about all the running backs that were out there? And we played a game last week called Running Back Bingo, mm-hmm. where we took all the free agents, and Tiki and I tried to guess on where they would end up. I will let you know that I did as horribly at that game as humanly possible. I literally got every pick in Running Back Bingo wrong. Every one of them. Derrick Henry, I said the Cowboys, wrong. DeAndre Swift, I said Ravens, wrong. Tony Pollard, Raiders, wrong. Saquon Barkley, Texans, wrong. Devin Singletary, Packers, wrong. Josh Jacobs, Chargers, wrong. Austin Eckler, Bears, wrong. You, on the other hand, did get at least a couple of right. You did. You did all right. You got Devin Singletary to the Giants. I'll start there. You got that one right. But what I find interesting about all these free agent running backs, none of them re-signed.
Mm-hmm.
Not one, unless I'm forgetting someone.
No. And so this is the, because I thought Austin Eckler would re-sign, mm-hmm. and he ended up signing a deal with
the Washington Commanders.
Yeah. So I said this yesterday. I think this was a moment when I was mad at you, Evan. But I said this
yesterday. How could you be mad at this face?
There, the last probably 3 years in the NFL feels like musical chairs with running backs. Right? I know that Saquon signed a 3-year deal. Two years of that are essentially guaranteed because the $26 million probably basically guarantees you for 2 years. But a lot of these other deals are essentially one-year deals. I feel like every year we're going to get the same thing. Running backs going from this place to that place, getting cut, taking less money than they did the year before. If I didn't know any better, because I can't believe that the union would allow this to happen, it feels like this coordinated effort to monetarily devalue. I'm not talking about devaluing the position, because when the people say that, it means like running backs aren't important. The running back is important, but to force the running back to be paid less, you play musical chairs.
Yeah.
Because when you're not wanted somewhere and you're kind of floating in free agency, like a lot of these guys are, you get paid less.
Yes.
The only example that is not the case is Saquon Barkley. And people could say, well, Josh Jacobs got it as well. But Josh Jacobs has 1 year guaranteed of his contract. I know he has a 4-year deal. It's $48 million. It's $12 million guaranteed. 1 year, basically, is guaranteed. And that's less than he made last year. So Saquon's the only one that made more money than he did a year ago.
It's amazing,
it
man.
It is unbelievable, given the free agent market that exists for every other position.
More of your calls coming up. Plus, we will play a game of whose side are they on? We listened to many of the talking heads who all felt the need to chime in on Tiki Barber versus Saquon Barkley. I'll tell you exact time. Coming up at 4:30, we will go through them and kind of guess whose side are they on. But when we come back, more of your calls, and we try to answer a question I know has bothered Sean Morash for a while now. Why are the New York Yankees continuing to be dishonest about guys when they're hurt? We try to answer it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.